You're not crazy. All right. A man who is definitely not crazy, and he works for the San Francisco Chronicle. He's one of the best baseball sports writers around. We really enjoy talking to him every weekend. And it's brought to us by Truett & White, the professional builder's choice, and Marvin Windows and Doors as we look through the window of baseball. And let us bring in our good friend Bruce Jenkins. Bruce, good morning.
Hey, Bruce.
Fellas, what's going on?
Well, we're talking pajamas, and I'm glad that you're here now.
Bruce, do you wear jammies?
You know, I really don't.
Thank you.
Maybe when it's really, really cold. You know, the only time I wear them on Christmas morning, just because it's just nutty. Otherwise, no, not at all.
Okay.
All right, very good. All right, you're a man like me. No pajamas.
Well, yeah, Bruce, I want to open things up and ask you. Yesterday I said that the Braves would get swept this weekend, and I said the Braves wouldn't total double digits in runs scored. Well, I busted both of those last night with the 8 runs that the Braves scored, and so I got a couple of texts. My buddy's calling me the mush. So I came in and asked Marty this morning what he thought of the mush, and I'll ask you, do you believe in such thing as a mush?
No, not at all. I mean, it's like if you're broadcasting somebody's got a no-hitter in progress right. And you say, well, it's seventh inning, he's got a no-hitter, that's not gonna jinx it, okay? I don't believe in any of that stuff.
Okay. No, but Pete, you know, honestly,
I've never heard of the mush, so I'm a little baffled by that.
Well, I hadn't heard of the word either, but when we hear what he's talking about, I think we can put it together.
Just a jinx. You're a jinx.
No, that's totally ridiculous to think that just one person, and not just one, it's you, are dictating what's going to happen. That's a little much for me.
All right, that's a little mush for you.
The fans take it very serious, though, and they'll get really upset if a broadcaster, and I know Flem is famous for mentioning a no-hitter going in progress, and I know some fans that get really upset about it.
I just remember Vin Scully with Koufax's no-hitters. It's the seventh inning in the City of the Angels, and Sandy Koufax has a no-hitter going, you know, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, come on now, please.
Right. Oh, yeah, you know, and the point is, because people tune in at any time on a broadcast. And you
would
want
to know.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you're reporting an event. Right. You're not reporting, you know, something that's not happening.
Yeah.
So it's very important. All right. We had an incident last night, the lighter side of baseball. Williams Perez, who pitched a great game last night. Jeremy Affet was telling us about the changeup and darting, and they couldn't square him up last night. So for his third major league start, he was absolutely terrific against the Giants. But he couldn't get his jacket on at first base.
Hello.
Yeah, I like. He couldn't get his.
I heard a noise. Yeah, he got everybody out. He got everything done but the jacket.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. And I said today, what happened to the little snaps? Now you get a zipper.
Yeah.
And zippers are not made the way they used to be. Jeremy even said it. They're plastic now, and it's testing the agility of these players.
Yeah, they made it. They turned it into a puzzle.
Really. Oh, goodness. All right. Yeah. 8 shutouts in the month. And, you know, I know you've seen, you grew up in L.A. baseball as well. But my goodness, 8 shutouts in a month. And you've got 11 on the year here at AT&T Park. I've never seen it before. And what's going on? How do you explain it?
Well, how do you explain baseball, Marty? I mean, really, I mean, it's not like there's something's going on here. I mean, then you get last night. I mean, that's how you explain it. You're going to get 8 runs the next night. But it's a great thing. I mean, I think Jason Stark had some of the previous examples. The 65 Dodgers, who I was very familiar with, had 10 shutouts in September, which is really great. And then so did the 69 Mets with that staff we talked about with Ryan and Seaver and Gary Gentry and Koosman and those guys. It can't be that big of a surprise that the Giants are pitching well at home. It just can't. I mean, maybe a month ago, but not now.
No, but I'd say coming out of spring training, and, you know, again, Bruce and I sit there in spring training and try to figure out what's going to happen. Who would have thunk with that pitching staff in spring training, Bruce, that we'd be sitting here talking about 8 shutouts in a month?
No doubt. I mean, at that time, there was a lot of doubt about everybody except Bumgarner. And then the season started, and it continued that way. And now they don't even have Kane and Peavy, and they're doing this. So, I mean, but again, for the Giants to have great pitching at home, it's something we've known for so many years. And a lot of these guys, you know, are Lincecum, Vogelsong, these are familiar guys. And now they got a young guy coming in, Heston. And it's delightfully surprising, but it's not like a big shock.
Bruce, I don't know if, did we talk about yesterday with the fans being interactive and voting on situations? Did you and I talk about that? I don't remember.
A little bit. I mean, not to any great extent.
Oh, good, because we had a guest on, two guests on yesterday, and they've created a website for the Lake Erie Crushers of the Frontier League, and the fans actually get to vote on the lineup and the philosophy of play and the rotation and whether a manager should be hired or fired. And it's like a an old Bill Veeck kind of operation. And, it's going to be online. And it made me think about the future of baseball with technology. With the chips that will probably be on a base, that will probably have the tennis-type situation instead of umpires. But how about the interactiveness of fans and the game? And Rob Manfred loves this, the computer stuff, wants to get all the young people involved. Take a guess. Baseball 15 years from now, what could it possibly look like? And could it be interactive where the fans actually have an influence on the game?
Well, no. I mean, I'm with the idea right until you reach the point where that is the lineup for tonight. what are you going to tell Bruce Bochy, this is your lineup? I mean, that'll never happen. I think it's great that the fans could get an input and that it'll be published. And I mean, if it's a situation where do you bunt or not, do the fans decide? That'll never happen. What will happen, though, is you hit on replay. The umpires, I don't think they'll be off of the field, but they'll be taken out of this whole nonsense of going down and getting on the headphones. It'll be almost instantaneous with the group in New York. Maybe you're right. Maybe it does become all electronic. Who knows? With chips on the bases and no home plate umpire, which to me would be a little bit sad. But the replay process is in the dark ages right now. They just refuse to give up the umpire because the umpires, they want to still be involved. But it's a travesty. Sometimes they spend up to 2 minutes and they still don't get it right. So that's the big step that's coming next.
What did you think when the guy sort of missed home plate on the home run the other day?
And then it was a homer, then it wasn't, then it was.
Right.
And then
the
it
umpire
wasn't,
called him out. It's right. The umpire is like staring at home plate.
Yeah.
Calls him out. And then all of a sudden, the replay say, no, he touched home plate. I mean, that to me was a little crazy.
Yeah, well, you had, because the umpires had too much input. I mean, he saw what he saw, but he didn't see it as well as we're seeing it on the replay. And that's why the umps, they get too involved in this thing. It happens in the NBA, too, the Warriors and all through the playoffs. They have these just long, big meetings with the refs clustered around a TV set. And meanwhile, some guy who just hit 5 3-pointers in a row is ice cold.
All right, this is where we're going. Looking at certainly the All-Star game coming up, and I thought maybe Bruce would talk a little bit about the All-Star game. It's only fan voting now online. You
yes.
like that?
Sure. I think the fans should definitely be involved. I think most of the time they get it right. They get or close to it. And if somebody gets robbed, he usually gets in. I mean, this year in the National League, they've got Adrian Gonzalez and D. Gordon, leading, and Carpenter, Molina, Bryce Harper leading the voting. These guys should definitely be in the game. I mean, you could definitely argue whether maybe Paul Goldschmidt should be at first.
Yeah.
Or I definitely think Crawford or Simmons should be playing ahead of Peralta, who's leading the voting.
Yeah.
But it's early yet. I mean, there's some weird things going on. The Kansas City fans have stuffed it to the point where they've got 5 guys leading. But no, I think it definitely should lead with the fans.
All right, yeah. Stanton, McCutchen. We got to see McCutchen this week, and I know you and I touched on that yesterday. But the part of what's going to be interesting, it's the Pittsburgh pitching staff. With Cole and Liriano
and Burnett
in there, and this is a team that shifts every 2 seconds. They're all over the place, and this is going to be a good test. It's going to be a good
Definitely.
Test. There's our umpire. There's Eddie Montague. So what do we say? No, we boo him. You boo him. That's it. You boo him. All right. We'll
tell
see
tell Eddie.
Eddie.
I'm cheering here silently
right.
at home.
Right. He's running somewhere.
Yeah.
But this is a pretty good test for the Giants with all the shifting, and they're facing, finally, I know the Dodger staff is terrific, but now they're seeing someone from the middle of the country with some pitchers we haven't followed too much who have really been pitching well.
Absolutely. It's about time for my money. I'm really getting tired of seeing the West. I mean, we've seen it already for a while. Then we'll get back to it later, but yeah, I think, you know, Cole is definitely going to be in the All-Star game. I'd have McCutchen in there with Harper and Stanton as my National League outfield. I know McCutchen's really on the rise. He'll probably be hitting 300 by the time the game shows up. And you know, they really get after it. You know, they got Marte and Harrison and Hurdle, and as you said, you've covered quite well. They're getting into they've been into analytics and shifting and letting numbers be a big part of it. So they're a really interesting team in the league.
Yeah, I'm going to be interested to watch the game.
Yeah, through that spectrum. Yeah,
to watch the game itself, because as Ron Wota said, maybe they'll shift on every pitch.
Wow,
you never know. Yeah, exactly. I mean. You say maybe you don't want to shift on Belt because he goes to left field so much, but all of a sudden on a certain pitch,
exactly,
you move him all over and you pitch him inside to
exactly.
where he literally can't put the ball to the other way, or if he did, it'd be a little blooper. So.
Exactly, and the count.
Yeah,
and, maybe it's a pull count, and now we'll put the guy over there. But what reminds me? It reminds me of the football team coming up to the line of scrimmage, and they go in the zone defense and the zone blitz and. You got people jumping all over the place, and I honestly tell you, the more information that you have in baseball, the more you're going to see that, and it's going to be interesting to sort of watch the game and see how that unfolds.
Yeah, I've always been in favor of absolutely no restrictions on defense in any sport. I mean, if you want to put 11 football guys out there in tutus wearing Jim Carrey masks, you can. I mean, the idea of illegal defense in the NBA was the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard, and it went on for years and years till they finally got rid of it. You can play how you want, for heaven's sake. You can put 9 guys in right field and see what happens. I mean, that's the beauty of it.
We're getting near the 1/3 pole, and I want to bring up the American League East, always the beasts of the East, and this amazing division. Right now, and I know you picked Boston. I can't even remember who I picked. I don't know who I picked to win it. But what a division. I'm not sure who's the favorite right now.
It's a terrible division. And there were so many years in the American League, it was like the best maybe 3 teams were in that division. And the team in the World Series is almost certainly going to come out of there. But, right now, the Red Sox, and you called it early on, their pitching is just terrible. And sure enough, it is, and they're in last place. I'm baffled by their lack of hitting, though. I mean, that's a really dynamic-looking lineup. Now Sandoval is kind of going in the tank. He was at 308. When he came to Oakland, he's around 250 now, and they're just not doing it. Toronto, should be a lot more interesting than they are. They, Donaldson and Russell Martin, talk about guys who'd go after it, but Donaldson said something about the team. Some of the guys just aren't, if they're not producing, and maybe they should bring in some guys who are. It was pretty lively comment. And I don't know. I think Buck Showalter and the Orioles are probably the team to watch. The Yankees are very unimpressive, and so is Tampa. So I mean, the Orioles they've got a pretty good club. And if they get healthy, and again with Showalter and get the pitching together, I think I like them right now.
Yeah, Bruce. This morning I was watching the sports reporters, and I know you guys are friends with Howard Bryant, and he thought that there's a likelihood that Tampa moves up to Montreal and get another Canadian team up there. And I just saw your thoughts on that.
Oh, that would be just fantastic. You got to get out of Tampa Bay. That stadium should have been blown up, in the middle of the night, hopefully with nobody in it, years ago.
Hopefully.
It's like, it looks like a bad cake. Granny blew the cake, I used to call it. Just a travesty of a ballpark and a terrible, terrible baseball area, too. I mean, it's great for spring training, but the whole Florida thing has just been a bomb, really, from the beginning. I would love to see in Montreal. They're all jacked up for another crack at it.
Yeah.
And they won't have to play in the Olympic Stadium when they get a good park up there. So that sounds like a real good thing to me.
Yeah. We won't talk to Bruce Jenkins till next weekend. What do you think about the NBA coming up?
No, it's going to be fantastic. I mean. If you watch the Warriors all year, most of us have watched every game, you just can't go against them. But I think because it's LeBron James, I think it'll go 7, and that'll be a classic.
All right, I'm putting Eddie Montague's headset on, Bruce, so he can talk to you for a second. Eddie, put the headset on. All right. Bruce Jenkins is on, and he says you're a terrible umpire.
You're out of here, Bruce.
I'm only kidding.
I'm going to get my 2 cents in before I go to the clubhouse.
Only kidding.
No, totally only. Eddie's my favorite guy, one of the best.
Hey, he's going to be a Hall of Famer. It's absolutely
good.
We're going to make him a Hall of Famer.
Absolutely.
Marty's my agent.
Right. Hey, Eddie, the play where the guy allegedly didn't touch home plate on the home run, did you ever see that before?
I've had it where I've called it at first base, Lee Lacy hitting a home run in Pittsburgh, and actually passing the runner. It wasn't missing the bag and nullified the home run. The runs counted, but I don't know why a guy would miss home plate.
Is there one umpire that's responsible for watching a guy touch all four bases, or is it sort of the guy on the base that's got to...
The guy on the base, but
yeah.
All eyes, you know, everybody's, when we're out there, you know, everybody's should be watching, you know.
Yeah.
That's why we get crew consultations. Somebody might have a different view on a play.
Yeah. That's always interesting when you get this great moment, and all of a sudden, wait a minute now, and then suddenly the home run's gone.
It's a little different.
Come on,
yeah.
I've never seen that in my life.
No, and you know what?
And I don't know how it got turned around, to tell you the truth.
Well, yeah, that's a good question. Because look at it. If we're out there, and what I've always told guys I'm working with and stuff, you've got to be 100% when you see a missed tag or a guy tagging up too soon.
Yeah.
On a base, you've got to be. You can't be 99.9. You've got to be 100%. And when you see that, so I'm not calling that play unless I see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Eddie, the Pirates are coming in, and Bruce and I were just talking about all the shifting, and you know, they shift on every pitch and the count and all that. How does that affect the umpire who's in the middle of the diamond? Because people are moving around all the time. What about the umpire?
Well, you just have to adjust to make sure that you're, you know, out of the way. And you've got to be smart enough to judge their speed and know that you're able to get out of the way on a play. A lot of times you'll see guys move in on a play going to home plate, then you get in back of them. But you get in back of them, you try to get an angle in case there's a trap at short or a trap at third.
The umpire got hit in this last series.
Yeah, Paul Nart. Yeah, he got dinged on the hand, line drive, just couldn't get out of the way. Sometimes those balls are, they're tailing or they're doing stuff. I said the only time I ever got hit in all my 34 years was at shortstop in the Houston Astrodome, and Chris Sabo hit the ball, and it could have been the slowest ball ever hit. It was a knuckleball. It was just, and it just went this way, that way. I weaved, and I was a good dodgeball player when I was a kid, so I didn't get hit too much.
Hey, Bruce, what do you think about the neighborhood play? Ron Wotus and I talked about that this morning. And Ron's point was this, and I'll ask Eddie to think about it. Years past, the neighborhood play came about because the umpires really were not quite sure whether they touched the base or not. Now with the technology, it's obvious whether they touch the base or don't. So make them make a legitimate double play. You either tag the bag and get out of there, or you don't tag the bag and the runner's safe. Now the neighborhood play is if there's a good throw to second, and you cheat, it's okay. If there's a high throw to second and you cheat, it's not okay. So technology maybe could do away with the neighborhood play. I'll ask Eddie first. What do you think?
Well, it is. It's very tough when you're out there. It happens. These guys are so quick.
Quick, yeah.
And so now we're seeing it with the super slow-mo. But Major League Baseball is looking out for the fielders and don't want these guys getting hurt. And that's why... But the other thing on that is it has to be a good throw. It has to be a true throw right at the guy. If the throw takes him off the bag, then it can be reviewed. Only in, and then can it be reviewed. You know, it's such a case. I mean, now you're seeing the guy just missing the bag, but that's not reviewable because we don't want guys getting hurt. So,
well, get out of there.
Yeah, get out of there.
In other words, don't make the double. Just get the out and get out of there.
Yeah.
Why do they have to be coddled here?
Yeah.
And said, okay, you know, you don't have to tag the bag, and we're going to protect you.
Well,
don't turn the double play. Just get out of there.
You do have to tag the bag. And one thing that I say is if you see him miss the bag, call it. He's off
the bag. He missed the bag last night.
Yeah. It was so quick and so close. And you did see it on the super slow-mo.
Yeah.
But you know, if you see it, call it.
All right. Bruce, what do you think about that?
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, you have to tag the bag. I mean, if you never did never do touch it, I don't care if the guy's coming in or not, that just simply isn't a force out. But I don't mind the fact that if you touch the bag just slightly before the ball gets there to save your life, to save your knees, to save your career, that doesn't bother me too much because that's one of the most dangerous plays in the game, and I just don't mind a little bit of leeway there to protect the guys.
All right, Bruce, I appreciate it. And and again, Eddie was coming in when you made your prediction on the NBA. Give it to me one more time.
I like the Warriors in seven, okay. Just barely getting by LeBron.
All right, should be terrific. Eddie, you got a prediction on that?
Warriors in six.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
They wrap it up in Cleveland. Very good.
All right, very good. Hey, Bruce, have a great afternoon, and we'll talk to you next week.
See you, Bruce.
All right, thanks all you guys. Take care.
That is Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle. All right, we'll be back with more right here on the Sports Leader.